Welcome to Nerds at Church, a podcast about nerdery and the Bible. And welcome to Horror Nerds at Church, a ridiculously queer podcast where we take a deep dive into a horror film and talk about how it connects to queerness, religion, and theology. I'm Pastor Emily, and I use pronouns like they, them, theirs.
And I'm Pastor Kay, and my pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Pace, and I have no pronouns or they, them pronouns, either one.
In this bonus minisode, we are talking about podcasting, tips and tricks, and also reflecting and dreaming together on the past, present, and future of our podcasts.
Check out the episode description for references we make in this episode and all of the links that we talk about for both of the podcasts.
Which will be a lot.
I'm so glad I'm not writing the episode description for this episode.
Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Tips and tricks is kind of where we're starting out with this. And the first tip is just because you are a cishet white guy doesn't mean that you should or need to have a podcast. This is actually advice for everyone. Just because you exist doesn't mean you need a podcast.
And just because you like podcasts doesn't mean you would be good at having a podcast.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the reason this is our first piece of advice is because, essentially, we have all had people we wanted to say this to very, very badly.
Some of us have said that to people.
Yeah, the way I usually phrase it is that you need to ask yourself, if you're going to make a podcast, because it is a lot of work, what niche can you cover that isn't already being covered? Because there's a bunch of podcasts out there, and it is so easy to make one these days. What topic that has broad appeal that isn't being discussed from your unique viewpoint would you like to cover? The podcast market is just oversaturated, and asking your friends to listen to you for an hour a week because they happen to like you is a big ask, okay? That's, like, people don't get how big of an ask that is.
Yeah. I have friends and family who don't.
Yeah, I have direct relatives who are remarkably proud of any tiny achievement I accomplish who have never listened to a single second of our podcast, and that's fine. Same. Just abandon your ego here, and this is the one piece of advice that I think now four separate straight white guys have flinched at and stopped asking me for podcast advice when I gave it to them. And sorry, not sorry, like, I saved you a lot of thankless work. You're welcome.
The real question is, how many of them went on to do the podcast anyway?
In at least one of those cases, he definitely didn't, and I'm personally kind of grateful, but that's a very specific case. So.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Okay. Yeah, and how many of them have, like, started it to abandon it the second they realize how much work it is, and the second they realize that not every single one of their friends is going to listen to them? So
right.
Many, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, the nice thing about blogs is that you couldn't actually tell if all of your friends were reading them. And also, it took a lot less work. Have a blog. Save your ego.
Can I throw some shade at the two pastors in the room by saying to all the pastors out there who want to start a podcast, is just because you have a congregation that is forced to sit there and listen to you speak for 45 minutes does not mean that that will translate into people doing that over the airwaves.
I have never forced a congregation to listen to me for 45 minutes, but yes, amen.
That's true. That's true. There is conversation happening right now about, like, in the ELCA in particular, where we're like, we want new, young, and diverse people. And also we want, like, progressive theology in podcasts and stuff, like progressive Christian theology. And it's like,
you're not supporting any of those people. And also, yeah, like, we had an app that was super useful, and we're refusing to use it or, like, fix it ever again. So, yeah. The next piece of advice that we would give is that if you're going to do a podcast, please have a co-host. A conversation is way more interesting to listen to than a monologue, and they might even occasionally drag you back from the cliffs of insanity, even if you don't have Fezzik or Andre the Giant with you at the time. And so leave solo hosting to people who already know what they're doing, please.
Or just leave it off entirely. Like,
have a blog!
I think the only solo podcast hosting that I've ever heard that's not been terrible has been ones that have guests all the time. Mm-hmm. So
very often, like Ologies, which is a wonderful podcast I very much enjoy, and she almost always has a guest. Absolutely.
There you go.
Also, if you're going to get a co-host, which, as again, we are advising, make sure your co-host is different from you. And take that to mean however you want, but just to say, like, different perspectives help bring out more conversation. One of the great things I love this season, Horror Nerds at Church, is having on my horror podcast a co-host that does not like horror movies. And that has brought out so much great conversation because, first of all, Emily is like kind of an outsider and watching a lot of these movies for the first time, so bringing that new perspective. But secondly, it also helps those of us who have seen, like, I've seen the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise a billion times, and I'm able to see it anew through a lot of what Emily brings to the podcast. It's really awesome. So yeah, I can't recommend that enough.
Yeah, when you started saying that though, Pace, I was like, gosh, we didn't do that well. And then I was like, oh no, right. The main thing is the thing that we're not the same, that we are decidedly distinct on. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you will eventually start getting feedback, and sometimes that will give you complicated emotions in ways you don't expect. So just be ready for that. Like, even good feedback, sometimes they don't praise the thing that you really wanted them to, and that will give you emotions. So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'll get two angry emails from somebody who's a fan.
I mean, we love our angry email writer.
Yes, those are great.
And particularly the fact that it's titled Angry Email and does not
contain anger. And the fact that so far they've all been packed full of like random Luther trivia, and we're both Lutheran pastors. Kind of helps. Like, you know, applicable.
Yeah. The angry email, angry is just code for nerdy. Nerdy email coming in.
Fair. Just for all of you starting out, for each episode you produce, there is like a standing amount of work you have to do for that episode, from social media posts to like the recording, research, all that stuff that takes place ahead of time, the social media and editing and all that stuff that takes place after time. So longer episodes, less often, maybe a good way to start. So both Nerds at Church and Horror Nerds at Church have weekly episodes. That's a lot of work. At least Horror Nerds at Church is broken up into seasons, but it might be wise to do like once a month, a little bit longer once a month or something, just to start out until you get the swing of how much time it's going to take and how much time you can put into it.
Yeah. And Nerds at Church's previous iteration, HP at Church, was more like that. It was every couple weeks. So we did multiple Sundays at a time, which was helpful.
But also those episodes were super long. So
yes, that is also true. Also, make sure that someone involved in the podcast is social media-y, ideally both, assuming you have no money to pay people to do the work for you, but to have folks who, and we'll get more into that, but who can navigate some of the algorithms, but also just like engage with posts and stuff.
Yeah. So next, let's talk about the editing and technology that happens behind the scenes on podcasts. Now, absolutely, I would be in favor of saying that you really don't need a lot of money, or very possibly any money, depending on how much extra workload you're willing to take on, to do a podcast. But I will say that I think buying an actual microphone that is separate from your device that you're recording on is helpful, particularly because that way you can have what's called a pop filter that helps stop certain background noises and side noises of your talking from getting recorded. Emily, would you like to demonstrate?
And the P's in pop filter help with the processing.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, all the letters.
It's also sometimes called a windscreen. So for those of you out there.
Yeah.
I've used a wide variety of mics in my own recording, but then I am in the process of getting divorced. So I lost the mics in the divorce. I didn't lose the kids. I lost the mics. I kept the dog. But anyway,
that seems like the more important thing. You kept the more important
priorities.
but there are some really solid podcasting ones out there. I used to have a really nice mic setup, and I'm slowly working on rebuilding a mic setup that will work with my desktop computer and stuff. And a super techie genius friend of the podcast also helped with that. So you'll hear more about that on Horror Nerds at Church. But anyway, for those of you who have a MacBook or an iDevice, like an iPad or an iPhone, the newer generations of all of those have pretty decent onboard mics. And some apps will even let you record directly onto your phone or something like that using the onboard mic on your iPhone and stuff. So Mac and Apple tends to have pretty quality microphones built into their products if you have those already. And a lot of people do have iPhones and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I have historically used just my Mac mic sometimes. For a while, it was on accident because I didn't realize that the mic that I plugged in every time we recorded was not actually like connecting with the device properly. But now, similarly to Pace, I have been shifting to a Go mic. Samsung Go mics were also like decidedly not paid by any of the like people that we're telling you that we use, just to be perfectly clear.
Absolutely.
Nobody's paying us. Though if they want to,
we have Patreons. That.
Yeah. We have Patreons. You can buy an ad on Nerds at Church at least.
So we started out doing sound editing for Nerds at Church on a program called Audacity, which is available for free. You can find a ton of tutorials on YouTube by a lot of people. My suggestion for that would be you're going to be watching a lot of these, so find someone who does Audacity tutorials on YouTube that has a voice that doesn't bug you, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with those. Sadly, there isn't really enough in-depth written stuff out there to just read your tutorials, which is honestly how I would prefer to learn this stuff, but I'm also not like willing to put in the effort to create those, so sorry. And there is a effect on Audacity called Truncate Silence, which I believe you might have to download an extra library for, but if you Google Audacity and Truncate Silence, that is a lifesaver. That takes out all of your extra background pauses and a ton of empty space. And it is possibly the one thing that, while still using Audacity, cut down the amount of work I had to do just amazingly. That was great. Also, I would say that you definitely want to keep doing your sound checks when you first start recording until you can record without having constant background noise. Often that's an electrical current of some kind that's happening near you. And that way you don't have to mess around with stripping out certain frequencies, because if you have to do that, you will sound weird. Emily has often described it as echoey. It's not great. And then finally, if you're looking for tutorials on how to edit your sound for a podcast, honestly, my suggestion is to look for tutorials on how to narrate audiobooks. They tend to be way less chatty and more upfront with the tech stuff and actually walk you through the technology instead of telling you the history of their podcast at great length before they tell you anything useful. Speaking from experience. Not that we're totally doing that right now. But
yeah. I know, as Val said, in other words, what we're doing.
Well, we're putting the history of our podcasts at the end because we're nice like that. So.
Yeah, well, we're nice like that. Yeah. Horror Nerds at Church, though, does not use Audacity. We use Logic Pro. It was originally Matt doing all the editing, and then for a while it was me doing the bulk of the editing and him just cleaning up the sound stuff. Now I do all of it. Logic Pro is a really great program. Just know it is expensive. So I am lucky that I was able to have it purchased for my device early on in the days of the podcast, so I don't have to pay a fee out there. But just like it does a lot of the things that Audacity does. So like Audacity is definitely a free option. And Logic Pro is a very powerful program, though, used by real sound engineers and stuff. And I think it is exclusively on Apple products. So just know that going into it.
Sure.
That does make it trickier.
Yeah. Also, one practical aspect of podcast recording that a lot of people don't talk about is that it is important to be able to control your hands and your body while you're recording, because that's where a lot of the background noise that actually bugs people comes from. Having the occasional car drive by in the background or a very quiet siren, that's one thing. You can usually get away with a few of those per episode, that's fine. But if you actually hit the mic or table, even if it's just a very gentle tap, it comes across very loudly in the recording, and it's going to freak people out. You have to chop that out, and that's a lot of extra work.
Mm-hmm. Keyboards is also part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bass needs a fidget spinner. Like, I really need to invest in one, because as the person doing the editing for her Nerds at Church, I cannot tell you how many of Bass just like randomly picking something up and like fiddling with it while on an episode I do, which is a whole lot. So I'm going to try to invest in a fidget spinner to make that a lot easier, but really it helps. Like, definitely get something like that I can do quietly.
Or silly putty.
Yeah.
Would be my suggestion. I do have a fidget toy, but unfortunately it makes some noise. But I have occasionally thought about picking up some silly putty, because being able to mess with that, which is silent, could be helpful.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I hadn't thought of silly putty. Also, one of the things in terms of recording and stuff, both Horror Nerds at Church and Nerds at Church sometimes tackle topics that can trip people's trauma. And so we do content notifications, content warnings, trigger warnings. They're yes. all very similar things. But the way that we decided to do it at Nerds at Church and the way that Horror Nerds at Church now does it is we just keep track of those as we go through recording the episode and then record it at the end on the same track. And then in the editing process, Kay and Pace can just cut and paste it into where it needs to go instead of having to record a whole new thing just to get that in there.
The magic of editing.
And yes. that's what I used to do. So
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Making a heart thing for since podcast is such a visual medium, here's a little heart symbol just made.
Absolutely. Oh. One lesson I learned early on in podcasting is that you absolutely want to edit a copy of your original recording, not the original recording itself, because you will eventually make a mistake mm-hmm. while you're saving a file and you will hate yourself. And starting the editing over from the fresh original recording is so much easier than having to record the whole episode over again, which we've had to do, and it was my fault. So...
We've had to do it a few times.
Yes, and it wasn't always my fault. But like I remember the times that it was my fault. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just resign yourself to having to re-record an episode. At some point, something will happen.
At least once.
Something will get lost and you will have to re-record. And just know that going into podcasting.
I think it's happened to us twice on Horror Nerds at Church. Mm-hmm. And I know, but it's like not even just like indie podcasts like us, like one of my favorite podcasts with Gorley and Rust a few of their seasons ago. Podcast professionals, they make a living doing podcasting, and they still were talking about how they had to re-record an episode because of sound issues that got degraded and stuff. So it happens to everybody. So mm-hmm. like Emily said, just resign yourself. It's going to happen. It's not the end of the world, but it does kind of suck. So
and it doesn't actually ruin all the jokes. It ruins a lot of the jokes, but it doesn't ruin all of them. And sometimes you make podcasts and jokes. That's not how we advertise each other's podcast space. On a not sarcastic note, sound editing is also just a very fiddly and detail oriented thing. You're gonna want to like try it mm-hmm. for a while, like just record yourself talking and then try learning how to sound edit with it. Try it for a while before you actually start putting a podcast out there, because it might turn out to be that sound editing is something you hate so much that you actually decide you don't want to do a podcast after all if the sound editing is up to you. I honestly was on a knife's edge about this myself when we started doing HP at Church way back in the day, and it only barely turned over onto the side of keeping the podcast going. And then eventually we were able to pay money for tools that made the sound editing much easier, and that helped. And also I, you know, learned what I was doing, which definitely also helped. But like, try it for a while before you officially announce to the world that you have a podcast, because otherwise you may wind up making a mistake. So,
yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And a few things on that quick is, first of all, it does get easier and better with time, like as you learn the tricks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like now it takes me for a typical hour and a half episode, which is about the length of our episodes at Horror Nerds at Church. It takes me about a solid 2.5-3 hours of work doing the editing process and stuff, because I have to listen through the whole podcast itself, but then I also have to do like sound edits and stuff like that. But typically, it's about 2 hours, which isn't that bad. But when I started out doing it, it was like a good 4 or 5 hours an episode. It really took a while.
My estimate before we started getting these new pay-for-use tools that have made it easier was that whatever our length of the original recording was, my editing time would be 3 times that. Yeah. And now that we have these new tools, it's much shorter than that, but still.
Yeah. And I also want to say that one of the things that I talk about all the time on Horror Nerds at Church is that I don't do much editing, which is kind of a lie, because like there's so much editing that goes into it to make sure the audio tracks are synced, lined up, sound, all that sound together, the silences are removed, all that stuff. I don't do much editing to content, which is probably how I should say it. But even if you plan on just being like, oh, I'm not going to edit my podcast at all and just upload it up there, it's like, no, you really should do certain amount of editing just to like process the sound a little bit, make sure it sounds right, make sure there's not huge gaps of silence and stuff like that. So
sure.
Even though I joke about not editing a lot, I still do a fair amount every episode, even if I don't edit the content much.
Yeah. Kay does more editing of our content.
I'm a bit of a perfectionist. That's not.
Yeah. But especially if we have a guest, because a lot of times when we have a guest, then we have an uncut episode, which is probably more like what Pace does. And that's just exclusive for our Patreon subscribers. And then we have the more edited down episode to keep it at our usual length for everybody.
And also, every time you add an audio track, that's going to increase the amount of work you have to do.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say that you want to have one audio track per person. If you have more than one guest for an episode, I would suggest you only have one person in each recording space, even if they live together. We've learned that one a couple times. Every so often you find couples or people who live together who can record together without adding a ton of extra background noise, but it's honestly kind of rare. So,
Yep.
It's hard. It's not what anybody is used to. And it's, it just adds like enough complexities that if you can avoid it, it's better to avoid.
And like, by all means, make it clear that you know what you're doing when it comes to recording, and your guest might not, and therefore they should listen to you about how this works from the start.
This is
Horror Nerds at Church has an entire Word doc that my sound engineering ex put together before he left the podcast, which we send out to the guests, and it's like really good stuff, but it's like some of it might feel a little bit no-brainer, but like some of your guests may have no experience on it or with recording stuff. So it's good to at least have something for them to read through and learn about best practices, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And some of your guests may just not read those emails at all.
Exactly.
Also true. Nerds at Church, either Kay or I, depending on who's most connected to the potential guest, will like do an initial, like, are you interested? Do you want to know more? And then after that, we'll send, like, I have a template that's like, here's who we are as a podcast. Here's some information. Here's what we were thinking of having you guest on.
Here's some technical information.
A little bit of technical information, but not a lot for that. And then, like, here's a way to contact us. You can either reply by email or talk to whoever the initial contact was via whatever communication method that was. And then once we get the date set, then the second email we'll send sometime within the week before we record, and that has the planning document for folks. It has the information about Riverside, which is where we record, and links and all of that, and what we need from them for like social media and those sorts of things, so that there's like two very clear touch points, and one of them is within a week of recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think Horror Nerds at Church kind of does a similar thing.
It's pretty similar. Yeah. There'll be initial contact. And then I usually will send the second email after we confirm a time. I send a long email with all the details, and it links to the episode outline and links to like sound advice and stuff like that. And then the week of the podcast, I try to touch base with them again and send out the release form, which is another piece of advice. If you have guests, it's probably good to get a release form. You can find examples of those online, but it's just that they are consenting for you to record and then release on the audio channels the content that they produce with you.
We also send releases to our guests.
So the next thing is about the recording itself. So the recording process, there are so many different ways to record. When HNEC started, we started on something called Zen Podcasting, which worked for a while, and then it just didn't meet our needs anymore, especially when we started having more guests. But that's a great option, and it's free for you to use. You can Zoom also if you have a Zoom account, since so many people do with COVID these days and stuff like that. And a lot of meetings should be happening over Zoom. Just a reminder, it's still COVID happening and going to flu season. But Zoom has a recording option as well. But if you want separate tracks, Zen does separate tracks. Zoom doesn't. Riverside
Zoom
is the program that
does separate tracks now, but it's unclear how much Zoom depends on quality internet connection for those recordings. That's the tricky part.
So I might end up with like syncing issues and stuff then. Riverside, out of all the options that HNAC has been through, we've been through a few. We found this program called Riverside, which is online. It is a paid program, but it works really greatly for what we do. It helps.
Yes.
It records everything onto separate audio tracks. It has a video component if you want to record video, but you don't have to. Both of our podcasts never do.
It also records locally and then uploads either simultaneously or can have like lag time and upload if the internet connection is not great.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to say too. Yeah, exactly. Like, since it records locally onto your device, unlike Zoom, like, it doesn't matter if your internet connection is a little fuzzy and maybe the other people you're in the room can't hear exactly what you're saying, but the audio will not break up or anything because it's being recorded locally onto your device. It works in the browser, so you don't need to download anything for it unless you plan on recording on like an iPhone or iPad. Then you may need to download their app. But if you're recording on a computer like we typically do, it works in Google Chrome and it works great so far for us. And so we record episodes there, then we edit them using Audacity or Logic Pro or whatever other program. Emily will talk about another program in just a moment that they use. Mm-hmm. And then how do you get that podcast out there? Well, there are a number of ways. You need to have an RSS feed to do so. RSS feeds you can do on your own. It can cost money. Or you can do what we do, the easy route, do a service like Anchor, which is supported by Spotify and is free to use. You just basically upload your audio file there, or you can record directly into Anchor as well. And then it'll kind of give you a little tutorial on how to get your RSS feeds to all the various platforms. Most of it does automatically, but some you have to do manually.
Mostly Apple, you have to do separately because they think they're special.
Yeah.
Well, also Stitcher is a really popular platform people listen to podcasts on, and Stitcher you have to do manually too. I don't understand.
I don't know if we're on Stitcher. Maybe we should be on Stitcher.
HNAC is on Stitcher, but I don't know about NAC. But anyway, so yeah, can't recommend Anchor enough for this. It's really easy setup and great to use.
And Anchor is connected to Spotify.
Yep, Spotify.
So Spotify is, you know, a suboptimal company, just like every company. So there's that. But also you can do advertising on it. Like, there's a way that Anchor makes it pretty easy to do ads, which is helpful.
Yeah. Get to monetization a little bit more in just a moment, but it does do ads. Yeah.
Then the other thing that is newest to us all is a program called Descript. It is also probably the most expensive in terms of like all of the tools that we use, but that's also because we share it. So I think if any of us were paying for it individually, it would be the most expensive. But because we share Descript, as Nerds at Church and Horror Nerds at Church share Descript with also our umbrella organization, the Diaconia.Faith Collective. And so they have it for consulting work that they do and that sort of thing. And so we use it and pay for part of it. Descript is really cool and takes some getting used to. The way it works is you upload ideally already synced audio, which you can do because Riverside has the option to sync your audio for you. And Riverside and Descript, I think, are just starting a like thing where they'll work together on stuff. So you don't have to necessarily download and then upload. But to do so, you upload all of the audios, all of the audio tracks, and you can label each of the audio tracks with who the person is for each of the audio tracks. And then it'll load them all. You have to click a thing to make sure that it loads them all continuously and not one after the other. But then it also comes up with a transcript. It automatically generates transcripts for you. Now you may be wondering why, if we're using that, we don't have transcripts for everything. That is because it still takes work and it still takes effort to actually like make the transcript the transcript. It
and we're still learning.
It still thinks that K is a letter. Anytime you have like more complicated theological words, it's gonna or Bible names. You can go like there are ways to help it know those words, but we haven't figured it out yet because we're still in some of the initial stages. But it makes editing the content pretty easy. Like you can see where the background noise is when somebody else is talking. You can just kind of highlight and delete in the transcript and it'll edit it in the audio tracks. It saves a copy of all of the audio tracks and then edits So it has a copy of the originals. You can always go back to the originals. There's ways to add music. Like, if you've noticed for ours, we've started fading in for our theme song for Nerds at Church instead of the, like, blast of music that we used to start with. That's because of Descript, because Descript makes it easier to do that. So there's a lot of stuff with Descript.
And occasionally, misunderstanding what we're talking about is actually kind of fun. I remember at one point in an episode, we mentioned the song Zacchaeus Was a Wee Little Man. And oh, wow, it had a lot of fun with that. I don't remember exactly what it turned it into, but that was interesting. Yeah. So.
And I think when we were talking about martyrdom in our last episode, it changed it to martyrdom.
Only when I was talking. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah. So that's fun.
And just so you know, the reason for transcripts is there are so many. First and foremost is accessibility. It's important, but also it can help with get content out there. A lot of Google searches and stuff can pull stuff from a transcript in a way that it can't from an audio recording. Mm-hmm. So if people look up something and you have a transcript, it can pull up your podcast in a way that it wouldn't if there was just an audio recording. Also, just so you know, Riverside does have a transcript feature. So if you don't have a lot of money and still want to have a transcript, that's okay. It just Riverside's, in my experience, takes a little bit extra effort to make it work well than Descript, which is another reason why Descript is something that we are moving toward. But yeah, okay. It's included in Riverside as well. And there are other free or low-cost options too.
Yeah, and the Descript transcript can also be converted into subtitles in a way that YouTube can use them. Not everything is YouTubeable, even if it says it's supposed to be or something, but because we've done for our live Q&As, we've done subtitles, and those, when they download from Zoom, are not usable for YouTube. But they are, if we run it through Descript, then it is usable from Descript on YouTube. They can make it the right formatting.
Sure.
Also, do a sound check every time. We may have already said this, but just do a sound check up every time. You may have to turn off lamps. It's weird and bizarre the number of things that have electric currents that interact strangely with computers and other things.
Yeah.
This gets us to our next section, which is social media, building your audience, monetization. We kind of have all this combined because they're similar overlapping concepts. But social media is one of the best ways to build an audience. So having a social media presence is basically the biggest way that your podcast can get out there and get listeners.
Yeah. Be strategic about it. So all of our podcasts are on Facebook and Twitter, and then Horror Nerds at Church is also on Instagram. Facebook and Twitter are great to share from, but you also then need to be strategic and have people sharing from the page. So every time I post something for our social media on Nerds at Church, we actually have paid for Zoho Social to help streamline that a little bit, which is really helpful. But then I can schedule stuff to post, all of that. And then once it posts, I still share it from my personal profile, because the way Facebook algorithms in particular work, it's more likely to be seen if it's shared from a profile than from a page, because Facebook wants you to boost all of your things. Similarly, if you're sharing it on Twitter, then retweet it. If you can, quote tweet it, because then the podcast can go back in and retweet your quote tweet, right? Like, the more times it's shared or engaged with, the more people are able or have a chance to see it and be reminded of it.
Yeah. And if Twitter could please not explode forever, that would be great.
Right.
Elon Musk is stepping down already, so he didn't even last as long as Truss. I think
maybe he might recover. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yep. I use Buffer, which is a similar thing to what Emily's talked about, a way of just streamlining your social media, posts all in one place, and then it goes out there. Buffer is free, and it's getting better. It used to not allow me to tag people. Now it does. Good. I also have Horror Nerds at Church on Instagram. And one of the reasons I do that is because when I first started the podcast and I had more time, I did, before I was working a full-time job and all this other stuff that has happened in the year since, I would do wave.com to do audiograms and create this visual picture. So there's a clip of the episode that I'd play on all the different social medias, like a short 1-minute clip with a visual. That's kind of fallen down by the wayside. I still have access to those programs, and I might in the future bring them back. But I do, but I think social media is a very visual medium, and so it's not the best for an audio thing like a podcast unless you're able to attach images to it in some way. So that's kind of why I use Instagram and Canva. And so Horror Nerds at Church, every episode we do, I have a lot of fun making little images to kind of tie in with the episode using Canva and stuff like that. So,
and you're fantastic at that, and you've done some of that for Nerds at Church as well. You have been kind and generous in your giftedness there. And
And you totally don't have to have Muppets, but Muppets certainly help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's like, we don't do a picture for the initial post, but we do pictures for the other two posts that we do each for each episode. And it's because of that visual aspect. And Descript does audiograms, but we just haven't figured out how. Descript has like lots of video tutorials. And there's one in particular that I watched like at least 10 times. I have not yet watched the one for audiograms. So there are like opportunities to do audiograms through Descript too, which I'm excited to explore further. But yeah, if you have someone in your podcast circle who is a pace, it's fantastic because the images are delightful. Kay also does good images, but pace is like trained in fancy images.
Yeah, I have some art background and stuff. So it's always fun for me. And kind of going on with that is ways to monetize the podcast, and using some of those fun images have made it into merch stores, which we have a shared merch store, Horror Nerds of Church and Nerds of Church. Really fun. But I just want to be clear up front that podcasts are not a great way to make money. Sometimes people think they are, because they see a lot of these big name podcasts out there where like the host just like My Favorite Murder, great example. They have a whole podcast network that started out from just their podcast. It's a hit, runaway hit podcast, and Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstock, like that's their full-time job now. Most podcasts will not be that, will not ever be that, and that's okay. Both Horror Nerds at Church and Nerds at Church are small indie podcasts, but we have a dedicated audience base. But because podcasts come with some expenses, so it doesn't become just like this black hole you're throwing money into every month, which is kind of how it started out for all of us, I think. There are things that you can do. Both of our podcasts have a Patreon page where Horror Nerds at Church is famously $5 a month, so cheaper than whatever. But you can also have tiers. Nerds at Church has tiers for their Patreon supporters. You can also get ad content works the best if you can track your audience, and Anchor allows you to track your audience so you can see how many people are downloading your podcast, and then you can get paid ads based upon how the size of your podcast. And I know Anchor does ads like built into their system as well. But at the end of the day though, podcasts really should be less about making money. It should be more about producing content about things you love for people who share interests. And for me, Horror Nerds at Church is a labor of love. I wouldn't give it up for anything, but I also know it's never going to be a full-time job. It's just something that I do for fun and to share in fun with the horror and churchy nerd community.
Yeah.
But feel free to tell your friends about our podcasts. Like, please go right ahead.
Yeah. I mean, we're never going to turn away money. So please, it does help. It really does help.
Yeah.
We love the tools that we have now. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I'll say for ads, Nerds at Church does ads in terms of Anchor. And so right now we've just got an Anchor ad that everybody hears at the end of our deep dive, in that it doesn't bring in a lot of money, and that's okay, but it's a like slow and steady drip of like a couple cents every day. And so I don't know.
About $20 every couple months or something.
I was going to say, every time I think to check, we're between $20 and $25. But I want to like affirm what Pace said about podcasting not being about making money, but about doing things we love for people with shared interests, and it's a labor of love. And also, one of the things that I believe, and that pretty much anybody that does work will agree with, is investing in things and giving money to things that you care about and supporting people who are doing work that you appreciate is important and is worth it. And that's part of, like, we live in a capitalist hellscape. None of us, the three of us, make what we would have made if we existed 50 years ago, or what we would make if we were all cishet white guys. So when we do work, we're doing it from a labor of love. And also, we really appreciate when we have Patreon supporters or other folks who financially support our podcasts, because it is affirmation of the work that we do, and it helps us keep going. And sometimes it helps us like make our bill payments and stuff.
Yeah. Also, I'd say that the extra stuff that we do for our patrons is some of the most fun stuff we do. And also interacting with our patrons is some of the most fun stuff that we do, because it, like, there is no better kind of feedback than I want to give you money so you can keep doing this. That is awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we have a lot of fun on Horror Nerds at Church with our Patreon episodes. BooTube is just such a perfect way for us to give back to our patrons and cover stuff that wouldn't normally make it onto the main feed. And it's a lot of fun. And we have a growing number of patrons. I was surprised. This is actually a funny quick little aside, is I was talking to Emily for our pet contest, costume contest winners, and I went in to pull out the money we had made from merch sales. And then I was like, okay, time to pull out Patreon. I don't think I have anything in there because I support a number of Patreon accounts as well. And so like it usually evens out the support that HNAC receives plus the support I give to others. But then I went in and I was like, holy cow, we got a few extra Patreon supporters. We actually are making money on Patreon. It was a really fun moment. And so, and it allows me to do things like the pet costume contest and other fun things like that. So it really does mean a lot, and it really does help us so much.
Yeah. And we have, for Nerds at Church, we have a designated account where our Patreon and Anchor money goes. And so it's hilarious to me because we pay Descript monthly, other things we've got yearly subscriptions to. We pay Descript monthly. And so we, every time, like, we'll get paid X amount. And then when the monthly comes out, Mint, which is where I do my budgeting, will notify me that my bank account is getting low. And I'm like, okay, but it's like more money than was in 3 weeks ago. It's just more money than was in 1 week ago. It's just less money than was in 1 week ago. But so it's just a funny, like, you can see it growing. And then we have like an upcoming renewal of Riverside. And so that'll like bring it back down. And yeah,
sure.
It's a fun. Yeah. But for real, our merch stores are fantastic and you should definitely check them out. And we will share more information about our merch store, and hopefully Pace will share information about the Zazzle store for Horror Nerds at Church, which has some fantastic and puntastic holiday cards for folks too.
Yeah. A new one is coming off the press this week, so yeah, check it out.
I've seen previews. It's fantastic. Yeah. So those are the kind of our main tips, tricks, and what we do, how we do for our podcast. And now is our time for why we do. So I'm curious, what have been favorite moments, deep dives, movies that we've covered? This can be because both of you like listen in some capacity at least to each other's, the other podcast. So like both in terms of like what we've done as co-hosts, but also like thinking about listening and the ones that we've been most excited to listen to. So
I just want to quick say that I listen to Nerds at Church quite a bit. I know Kay listens to Horror Nerds at Church a fair amount too, and really the only one who doesn't listen to either is Emily.
It's true.
And they're the co-host of
It's true, because I
experienced
them both.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I have to say that our shared episodes where, you know, either I'm guesting on Horror Nerds at Church or Pace is guesting on Nerds at Church, those are some of my favorite episodes we've ever done. Those are great. Also, when I'm thinking about, like, deep dives, the first things that pop to mind are the deep dive on Glitter was just a lot of fun. We had a great time with it. That was a very fun day. Yeah. And then also we had an episode with Rabbi Maurice Applebaum. We talked about a lot of things. I think that episode technically was about Passover, but at some point in the readings, we wound up having a conversation with him where he asked us, how exactly do you explain communion to small children? Because isn't it like, it is cannibalism, right? Like, and Yeah, no, explaining that to someone who doesn't have the Christian background was kind of a trip. And also, yeah, that is a weird thing to teach small children. And also, like, all of the cannibalism jokes, you really can't argue with them. So it was a fun episode. I think that part, however, did get chopped down to the Patreon episode only. I'm sorry about that. But we did talk about a lot of stuff that week.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite Nerds at Church deep dive is still the Ascension one, because that is like such nerd candy to my brain of like how the science behind the physical processes of the body as it ascends up into the atmosphere. And I just really love that. And kind of, I think that's a good episode that kind of encapsulates like, what's at your show? There's pop culture, there's nerdery, but science and religion and all that stuff kind of tied in. So it's really fun.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love the variety that we get to cover in Nerds at Church. I was also thinking about our Ascension episodes, which each year, like, that was the one that you're talking about was the first one. And then this last year, we talked about aerodynamics. So the aerodynamics
is
actually ascending. But also, so Kay loves the Glitter episode with Emily Ann Garcia. I love the Vanta Black episode with Emily Ann Garcia. Both of those were transfiguration episodes. We've also had some professors that I know and some professors that are like, I can't believe you are like agreeing to come on our podcast. How did we get so lucky kind of situations? And we've done like, we just did one on death and we've done ones on shows. Like we had Susanna Porter for Buffy and Pastor Kelsey Brown for Pose. And yeah, there have just been a whole bunch for Nerds at Church. And I'm like, these are just fun and such a variety, which is awesome.
Fun fact, the Buffy episode was the first episode of Nerds at Church I listened to.
Aww.
I loved it. That's and it got me hooked.
It was also the first time we tried doing like uncut guest episodes. That was our first guest episode. So there was a lot of learning that we did with that one.
Yeah. Some of my favorite, like I love on Horror Nerds at Church, anytime we have a guest on, all of our guests have been fantastic. And kind of like you were saying, Emily, like we have had a variety of guests on. I'm trying to think, like we've had everybody from friends of mine, like my sister has been on the podcast, my good friend from college has just been on the podcast most recently, JR Lux. But we've also had professors of theology on the podcast, who Brandon Grafius was on, and he talked about his new book on theology and horror. It was really cool. And we've had horror authors who are published authors on the podcast. We've had other podcasts. It's always fun. One of my favorite things to do as a podcast is to like have another podcast join us for the episode. So it was really fun when Nerds at Church did it for both of our Hocus Pocus episodes. 1991 Movie Rewind podcast did it for our People Under the Stairs episode. Nightmare on Fear Street did it for our Nightmare on Elm Street episode, which is a lot of fun. And I know I'm forgetting one, and I'm sorry. But we also have one upcoming with Horror Queers, another big kind of podcast. So it's just so much fun stuff whenever there's guests involved, I think.
Yeah, I also really enjoy our guest episodes. I think probably my highlights for guest episodes was the Twilight season, Twilight-specific episodes, because we had everyone from TJ Tranchell, who grew up in the LDS church, and so can pull out what is LDS theology built into it, to Pastor Kelsey Brown, who loved Twilight and is a Twilight fan, and Susanna Porter, who is a former president of Now New Jersey, who can explain how Breaking Dawn Part 1 is entirely anti-choice propaganda. And like, just that kind of wide variety of guests and experiences and wisdom was fantastic.
And it's always fun to share guests too. Like Lenny Duncan has been on both of our podcasts. Kelsey Brown has been on both of our podcasts. Alex Raby has been on both of our podcasts. Yep. We even had Bishop Brenda Voss on HNAC, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm just waiting for her to come up on Nerds at Church now.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
So. We have to find a good one for her, which I think is easy enough to do because she used to be like a TV show producer. So I'm sure we'll get her this season. I have to say my absolute favorite, which also is like a fairly absurd and surprising choice for Horror Nerds at Church episodes, was our BooTube episode on Vampirina, which had my best friend and college roommate and her then 4-year-old, now 4.5-year-old, as a guest on it. And it was just fantastic because it's a cute show for kids and it's not a terrible show for adults, having watched all of it now. But it was just really, it was really fun for me to like have this space where like this kid is growing up and loves Halloween and loves spooky stuff. And so we'll almost certainly be some version of horror fan. Yeah. So that was
really fun. Look at us indoctrinating the children's.
Indeed.
Quick question for, well, I also, all, both of you, because I know Kay is also a fan of HNAC, is there a movie or TV show on your bucket list to cover? I would say when I started the podcast, for me, it was Nightmare on Elm Street and Sunshine were the two movies that was like, I knew it was like, I have got to cover these on the podcast. And we covered both this season. So, I mean, I guess that means I can be done with the podcast. Bye, y'all. No, I'm kidding. But
like, I'm somehow I doubt it.
BooTube or movie that you'd love to see us cover on HNBC.
Well, I think we've talked about some of these, but I still maintain that Close Encounters of a Third Kind is a horror movie, and I am willing to lay out my theory about that in more detail on an actual episode of Horror Nerds at Church, but also things that are genuinely horror movies that I am pretty familiar with that I would love to see Horror Nerds at Church do include the classic Frankenstein movies, because I was forced to watch that before watching Young Frankenstein with Mel Brooks, and that is a lot of fun. And also, there is a BBC miniseries of a book by Neil Gaiman called Neverwhere that could be a lot of fun on Horror Nerds at Church. And it is definitely horror, but it has this really fun fantasy twist to it. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a wild show. I'd love to do that one. Definitely.
Yeah. I would love for us some year for Christmas to do Love Actually, because I did it last year for our Advent movie calendar as my like horror movie, and I loved it. But I think it's, I particularly like the ones where we kind of take something that is not largely interpreted as a horror movie and really explore the horror elements to it. Mm-hmm. But also, I was really excited when we did Children of the Corn. That was actually my idea, because I, as I said in the podcast episode, when I was in college, had an experience where our like group of students was called the Children of the Corn, and I didn't really know what it meant. And now I have like an even greater understanding of what they were talking about. But I also am really excited about our upcoming, our next couple of seasons, because they are going to be like out of this world, sometimes literally.
Jeez.
Hints.
Oh my gosh, hints. The puns. Well, that's a great transition to the kind of final points that we have, which are like, what are we excited for coming up? And like also tying into like kind of dreams and visions we might have for the podcast. So one thing I will say right now that I'm super excited for is Horror Nerds at Church has our first live show. Woo-hoo! And so that's really exciting. It's going to be in January. More information to come. It'll be in the Washington, D.C. area. So if you're out there, you can check us out, and there'll be more information about how to do that later. We also have a lot of really cool guests lined up, and I wish I could tell you some of them, but like, oh my gosh, like some of the biggest guests we've had so far are coming to Horror Nerds Church. We also have a few returning guests coming, and it's going to be really fun the rest of the season / next few seasons. Mm-hmm. And season 6, so we're on season 4 right now. Season 5, Emily will talk about in just a moment.
We're doing ghosts.
Season 6, we already have ghosts too. And season 6 is, I'm really excited for season 6 because of what we're going to be doing. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it will be out of this world, as Emily said.
Indeed, it will. I'm excited for season 6. I'm also excited for season 5. I'm also excited for season 7. It just will like bewitch your mind, I'm sure.
I'm looking forward to in season 6 fangirling Sigourney Weaver, maybe. Just a guess.
Maybe. Yeah. And also in season 5, you get a fangirl her in both seasons.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sure.
There you go. So, I don't know what it is in season 5, but I'm super excited about all of those.
Dana Gould, but yeah.
Okay. I'm super excited about all of those, and I'm excited for our live show. I've never done a live podcast show before, so that should be fun. Also, Nerds at Church has another live Q&A coming up in January for our Patreon supporters, our patrons. Yes. And there will be we've decided to add a special raffle spot for you get one raffle. So you get one chance for every question you submit for the live Q&A. So the more questions you submit, the more chances you have of being in on the live Q&A, even if you are not a Patreon supporter at our $10 and above level.
Can't imagine Hillary in that room.
That sounded like a thing, Kay.
I assumed that Pace was making a reference to something and decided to ignore it. Yeah, that seemed wise at the time. I guess we'll find out. So what dreams do we have for our podcasts, Horror Nerds at Church or Nerds at Church?
I have dreams of hiring someone for doing the producing, sound editing, social media stuff. Someone or someone's.
That would be brilliant, but it's probably a ways away. Yes.
Yeah.
For HNAC, I have a lot of ideas and some of the stuff Emily I've been talking about, like cooking up and stuff. So there, some of this might be coming into reality sooner than later, but some include potentially doing a new Patreon tier right now. It's only $5 a month, one tier, but we may do a second one with some added benefits, which I'm excited about. I'm excited about one of these days getting an editor. I'm excited about one of these days finishing my mic setup. So I have a setup like I used to that I really enjoyed. And right now we operate via seasons. It's always been kind of a dream of mine to what if we were to just do this year round? That's a lot of work. And I know Emily and I cannot do that at this moment in our lives, but maybe one day it'd be fun to do. So we'll see. If we get a lot of support, who knows what will happen.
Yeah.
Sure. I would also love to get to a stage where we could have slightly more well-known guests on Nerds at Church. Most of our guests, while a few of them have been somewhat well-known, like professors and such, and authors, most of our guests have just been friends. And there are some not full-on famous, but well-known on Twitter people who I would really love to have on the podcast.
Yeah. If we could get Rabbi Danya Rutenberg or the Nap.
That is definitely a dream. Or literally anyone who works for the Muppets.
Yes.
At this
my God.
But yeah.
That's true. Also, I think it would be cool if we had more opportunities to do live episodes. I know, and maybe I will have a different opinion about this after January, but I think that would be awesome. Also, Susanna Porter and I have talked about doing a spinoff podcast episode called Politics Nerds at Church, which I think would be a really interesting. It would be a more seasonal podcast, but I think that would be also an interesting take on Nerds at Church, and particularly in this time and space where so much of religion and politics is harmfully intertwined, to say, okay, what does it look like from a progressive space to really dive into a lot of the things that have become so politicized and at heart are issues of gospel clarity.
See, and I hear that, and I think that that's another opportunity for me to guest and let the philosophy nerd side of my personality come out and play. So
absolutely, absolutely.
Or for Pace to guest and bring some of their co-worker friends from when they worked at the Senate.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
I think we're already lining up your guests.
Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely, you both will be guests on this very theoretical podcast. But if
there may or may not already be a logo, just so you know, that Pace has designed. Our listeners know.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us all. If you want to know more about potential podcast Nerds at Church and all the things that are coming up, you can follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Horror Nerds at Church and Twitter at HNAC Pod for all the latest updates. And check Nerds at Church out on Twitter and Facebook at Nerds at Church, or contact us at nerdsatchurch@gmail.com. Also, catch both of our podcasts next time when Nerds at Church will discuss nerdery connections to the scripture readings for the first Sunday in Advent. Happy New Year! And catch us next time when Horror Nerds at Church will discuss the Addams Family movie with Reverend L. Dowd. This podcast has been produced by all of us in some capacity.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, if you like what you've heard, please comment, rate, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want access to Nerds at Church's uncut guest episodes and interviews, live Q&As, and more, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdsatchurch.
Love it. And if you want access to Horror Nerds at Church's BooTubes, movie commentaries, and more, some other fun things getting cooked up there too, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/horrornerdsatchurch. It is cheaper than pretty much all of the things we talked about on here that will help you with your podcasting. So
it's true. It's true. Until next time.
Until next time, if you're a cishet white guy, maybe think twice or 10 times before making your own podcast.
You stole mine. Oh, yeah. I was going to go with that. Okay. Until next time, ask yourself, what niche are you going to fill that isn't already being filled already? Because there's probably a podcast for that.
Until next time. Oh, I have a good one. Until next time. This has happened to me multiple times now. Until next time, keep your fidget spinners quiet and your feedback loud. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely. As the ancient Christians said, Pax vobiscum.